As we read 1 Thessalonians here, and if you read any of the Apostle Paul's writings, you know that when he oversees a church, he uses a lot of comparisons and analogies and pictures and events to communicate great truths to that congregation, or to describe his love for them, or to describe their love for him. For instance, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, Paul tells his son in the faith, Timothy, to endure his ministry and endure it as a good soldier, endure it as an athlete, endure it as a farmer. All of those you prepare, you plan, you strategize, you do all of these things in preparation for what you are about to do and what you will continue to do. He uses the analogy in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 7 about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, one plants and one waters, but it's God who gives the increase. And he uses that analogy about sharing your faith. He uses the example other places in Scripture of a judgment seat, of a building's foundation, of a husband to his wife, of a runner in a race, a soldier in armor, a thief in the night, an ox treading out grain, vessels of gold and silver and wood and clay, about Paul himself travailing in birth like a mother until Christ is formed in you, and on and on and on. He has all of these analogies to drive home a point that he wants to make. As a matter of fact, several times he uses the example of the love of a mother for her children, as he does in our passage here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says, as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. That is one way the Apostle Paul describes the way he loves the people of that congregation. And that's really a beautiful analogy there. Then he changes to one final example in our passage here of his relationship to the church that he is ministering to. And he says, this is the way I view myself with you, as a father to his own children. What a beautiful analogy that is for a pastor to his congregation. And because this is Father's Day, I wanted to look at this comparison of a father to his own children by looking at the Apostle Paul's relationship to the church at Thessalonica. You know, from verses 7 through 9, Paul uses the term you, plural, 7 times in referring to the people at the church of Thessalonica. And he does so comparing his relationship to them as a nursing mother to her children. And then in verses 10 to 12, he changes the analogy of that of a father to his own children. And that's what I want to share with you this morning, and I trust will be words of encouragement to you who are fathers. But before I do that, let me take you back in the context here, what leads us to these passages of Scripture. So if you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verses 1 through 9, Paul says, my coming to you was not in vain. I had a purpose for coming and ministering to you. And then he shares in verses 1 to 10 what that ministry entailed. He said, I came to you from Philippi, all bruised and battered and beaten from all that happened to me there. Paul says that he was entrusted with the gospel and he was sharing it in truth. He wasn't sharing it to please men, but to please God. He didn't do it to flatter people. He didn't use it as a pretense, and he didn't seek the glory of men. He always sought the glory of God. And he says, we were gentle among you as a nursing mother that cherishes her own children. We loved you that much. As a mother longs for her children, so Paul longed for the people of Thessalonica because he wanted to impart the gospel and his life, and he was willing to work hard so as not to be a burden to anyone to do that. And then he comes to verses 10 through 12. And he shares what they are doing in this ministry to the people of the church at Thessalonica. And he compares that to what fathers should be doing to their own children. And by the way, I want to back up two verses, verses 8 and 9. Because if we're talking about the relationship of a father to his children, like Paul being a father to the people of Thessalonica, we have to back up to verse 8. Because they can also apply to the responsibility that a father has to his children as well. first and foremost. His responsibility, as Paul's was to the church at Thessalonica, who he viewed as his children, is to impart the gospel of Jesus Christ. And of course, we know Scripture talks about that quite a bit. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that they will go. You do that through the gospel of Jesus Christ and all that the Word of God has to say. You do that, as Ephesians 6:4 says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You do that, as Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9 says, when you lay down, when you rise up, when you walk, everywhere you go, you share the Word of God with them, investing in their lives, investing the Word of God into their heart and into their life. And not only that, in verses 8 and 9 there, Paul says, we invested our own lives for you, as a father would do with his own children. By the way, that word in part means to share with or to give. And in this case, it's a father sharing and giving himself to his own children. And unfortunately, we live in a day today, don't we, where some fathers are too busy giving themselves to themselves or to their jobs or to their activities or to their interests or to their sports or to their hobbies or to their recreation and any number of things, and not to their own children. Paul says, as a father to the children, as I am to you, I am one that works hard. I labor and toil among you. As a father is to be to his children, the provider by example to his children, as Paul was to the church at Thessalonica over and over again. You read about that in 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 8 and 9. He says, I toiled and I labored for you over and over and over again because I loved you so dearly and I wanted to impart all that I could to you. Now Paul says in verses 10 through 12, that's what you do to your own children, fathers. And so he compares this whole ministry that he has to that of a father to his children. Look at it starting in verse 10 of 1 Thessalonians 2. He says, you are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. Now remember, he's looking at this from the perspective of a father to his children, from him to his congregation, and he says, you are witnesses in God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. Paul starts out by saying, one thing that a father is to be to his children is an example in his own behavior. And he says, there's three things that mark their behavior toward the people of the congregation that ought to mark every father's behavior to his own children by way of example. He says, you are to be witnesses, and God also, how devoutly, how justly, and how blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you. Those are three characteristics that should mark every father, as it should every church leader, as it should every man in the church. The first one, he says, how devoutly we behaved ourselves among you. That word means to live in a holy manner. And he says, secondly, how justly we behaved ourselves among you. And that word means righteously. And thirdly, how blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you. And that word means by good reputation amongst others. That's a high standard and high calling for men and for fathers, or would-be fathers. It is a lifestyle of holy, righteous, blameless living that becomes a great example for your children to see and to follow. That's why Paul said in Philippians 3:17, what all fathers should be able to say to their own children when he says, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us as a pattern. Unfortunately, today, there are some fathers that cannot say that. Do your children have you as a pattern and as an example to follow in holiness and righteousness and living blamelessly? Paul says there's three more things that you as fathers can do for your children. And it's found in verse 11 of 1 Thessalonians 2. And he says, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children. Paul says there's three more things that every father should do for his children. And they are to exhort them, to comfort them, and to charge them. That word exhort there, it's the word parakaleo. It means to come alongside someone for the purpose of entreating them or instructing them or strengthening them or admonishing them or comforting them. It's the father that comes alongside their children to do those very things. It's the very same things that the Holy Spirit does for us, according to John 14, verses 16 and 17 and other places. The Holy Spirit comes alongside us to encourage us, to instruct us, to exhort us, to admonish us, to do all of those very same things. That's what a father is to do, to come alongside his children, to aid them and to direct them, to instruct them in godly, holy, righteous living as the Holy Spirit does for us. He also says, not only do they do that, but they comfort them as a father does his own children. And that word comfort means to console through encouragement for the purposes of bringing comfort to someone. That's a father's responsibility also, to encourage his children, to console them, not to berate them or discourage them or provoke them. By the way, all these mean that if you are going to do those things to your children, that you need to invest in the lives of your children. You cannot be a passive father. You must be an intentional father and a consistent father in the lives of your children as you have opportunity to influence them. Paul says a father is not only to exhort and to comfort, but they are also to charge their children. Let me tell you what this doesn't mean. If you have a child in the home that should be out of the home, you can't charge them rent while they're living in your home. So don't take it that way. It's not what he means. He says, when you charge your children, that word is maturo. And it's where we get our English word martyr from. When that word was originally used in biblical times, it talked about somebody testifying about something that they have observed, to bear witness of something that they have seen or they appeal on behalf of something. But it changed from that because people began to testify about Jesus and witness what they observed about Jesus. They began to be martyred for that. So that word martyr or martyral began to mean the suffering for Jesus Christ. But initially, that's not what it meant. It was the father who wants to tell his children, to testify to his children about something that he knows and has observed. Matter of fact, in verse 10 of our passage here, it says, you are witnesses. It's the very same root word, martyro. He says, you have just observed how we have behaved ourselves. You have witnessed that. You have observed that. And now you can go and tell others what you have seen in us. That's what Paul is saying to the church at Thessalonica. And that's what he's saying you as fathers do. You do that and then your children see that and then they can go out and tell others of what they have seen in your life. You have the obligation, fathers, to testify, to witness, to bear witness to your children about what you have observed, about what God has done in your life. And about what the Word of God does in your life as it dwells in you richly in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And how God's Word has affected you. And then how they, as they see that, how it will affect them and how it will affect others as well too. Also, that witness and testimony are not only in what a father says to his children, but by how he lives out that testimony in his life, how it is observed and believed in the life of the church and also in the life of his children who are watching him, what they bear witness of in his life. So fathers, it becomes a lifestyle for you to be that example for them to follow in how you behave yourself, to be that example for them to follow in what you say and in what you do and what they witness in your life. They then become that witness to tell others how you have affected them. And it's not always good for some people, unfortunately. And you want to know why this is so important? Why the call that Paul has for the church at Thessalonica in relationship to a father, to his children? It's because living that kind of example in everything that you do has such a profound effect in their life, in those children's lives, by what you do. So look at verse 12 of 1 Thessalonians 2. It says, so that out of all of this, he says, so that you will walk worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. The whole purpose for fathers to live as godly example and influence for their children is so that the children will then walk worthy of God. Every Christian father and every Christian mother's greatest desire is to see their children walking worthy of God in the maturity of their faith, is it not? Come to saving faith and then growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's why John wrote in 3 John 1:4 when he said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. He said in 2 John 1:4, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in the truth as we have received commandment from the Father. The desire of every Christian father is for their children to become born-again believers that grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ to eternal life in heaven, because they know the alternative. If they don't, and that's separation from God forever in a Christless eternity in hell. So the father's desire for their children, much like Paul's desire for the church at Thessalonica, was to walk worthy of God. And if you look in the scriptures, that's a call that's often made to all of us. Romans 6:4 says we're to walk in newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we're to walk by faith and not by sight. Galatians 5:16 says we're to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Ephesians 2:10 says to walk in good works that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 4:1, we're to walk worthy of the calling with which we have been called. Ephesians 5:8, to walk as children of light. And if you wanted to sum all of that up together, it would be what 1 John 2:6 says. We are to walk as Jesus walked. You see the importance of that to a congregation, for the leadership, to allow them, to cause them, to encourage them to walk this way? How much more so would it be for a father to his own children as well? So fathers, the call to you is to walk as Jesus walked, so that your children will have you as an example, as a pattern to follow. You know, as you were raising your children when they were very small, how they wanted to follow you and do everything the way you did it, say everything the way you said it. You become a great example for them, even at an early age. You and fathers and mothers as well, too, have the greatest impact on your children by what you say and by what you do and how you behave in holiness and in righteousness and uprightness, and by what you say to them by way of exhortation and encouragement, and what you know about God and what you want to share with them about who the God you know and love is, so they can come to know and love that same God as well. And by the way, no child is ever left out of the parental responsibility and influence that a father and a mother have for their children. Do you realize that when Paul ministered to the church at Thessalonica, he said in verse 11, every one of you. And in the Greek construction of that, it means every single one of you. No one was left out of that ministry of coming alongside them as a father does his children. That's the way Paul treated every single person in that congregation. That's the way a father does to every one of his children in his family. There are no favorites. his life and example impacted and influenced every one of the people in that congregation, much like a father's life and example can and should and will influence every one of your children when you live this way. So the question becomes then is, what kind of legacy and example are fathers today leaving for their children? Are they living in such a way as a father does his own children, loving them in those kinds of ways? Well, many of you do here. We appreciate that. We see the fruit of that in the lives of your children who love you, who love the Lord, who love this church and love the worship here. So if I had to challenge and encourage you men with one final word of encouragement, it would be this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, to be the greatest example of a man and the father that you can be would be this verse. And it says this: watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, let all that you do be done with love. I'm going to read it again because I want to stop here for a second. It says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave. Androzomai is that word in the Greek, and it actually means act like men. So if I read that again, it'll read like this: watch, stand fast in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done with love. Don't we need men and fathers like that today in a society that is falling apart and being feminized? We need men to watch, to stand fast in the faith, to act like men, to be strong, and let all that you do in your family, in your church, in your job, in your community, all that you do be done with love. May that be so of all of us. Let's pray.